Okay, so we are learning Hilchos Pesach, Otis Simin Tuf Ayin Hei Se'if Hei. In Tuf Ayin Hei Se'if Hei, it says that Achol Kezayis Masa Behu Nichbe Be'eshe Tusa V'achakach Nisrape Chayiv Lacha Achash Nisrape L'fisha Osa Achila Haisa B'shoshaya Pater Min HaMitzvahs. Basically, the deal is that sometimes you have a person, let's say the person has epilepsy or some other condition, that the person goes in and out. That sometimes the person is a very cognizant, fully aware person. At other times, the person is a shota. So if you do the mitzvah while you're a shota, so then you are putter, then you don't get any mitzvah points. Because anything that you do when you're a shota, you're exempt from. You're not yotze. However, after you come back to being a regular sentient being, so at that time, so you are obligated in the mitzvah. So the case over here is that we have somebody who Leil HaSeder, at the beginning of the Seder night, the individual was a shota, but at some point later on Leil HaSeder, the individual becomes better. So even if the individual ate matzah during that moment when the individual was a shota, the person has to eat matzah again after he comes back, after he is fully sentient. Now, obviously, this halacha, the Mishnah Berurah points out, obviously this halacha applies in a situation that you become better that same night. The mitzvah of achilas matzah is only at night. Let's say the person becomes better the next morning, so there's no makeup. No, how do they say it? Like when you're in third grade, there's no backsies, right? Or whatever the expression is. You can't make up. You didn't do the mitzvah at the proper time. You can't be yotze the mitzvah lemefreya. So I can't eat matzah the next morning and get points, even though the night before I was exempt. I was putter. Now, the Mishnah Berurah has an interesting line over here. The Mishnah Berurah writes that a person who is a shota does not have the status of ish. Right, that makes sense. Right, chayrish shota and katan always go together. Katan is not an ish. A chayrish and shota are also not an ish. And consequently, they are exempt from a mitzvah. Not only are they exempt from the mitzvah, if they do the mitzvah at that time, when they're a shota, so they do not get any mitzvah points. That's the comment of the Mishnah Berurah. And the Mishnah Berurah notes that this is in the Sher HaTziyon Os Lamed Tes. Mishnah Berurah comments that in this respect, someone who does a mitzvah while the person is a shota is worse than someone who does a mitzvah at the time that someone is pater from a mitzvah based on osek b'mitzvah pater min haMitzvah. There's a halacha that comes up in the Gemara in Brachos and elsewhere that osek b'mitzvah pater min haMitzvah. Let's say I'm in the process of digging a grave. I'm in the process of burying somebody, so I'm exempt from kriyashma, I'm exempt from mitzvahs. Osek b'mitzvah pater min haMitzvah. If a person does a mitzvah at that moment, when the person is osek b'mitzvah, the person eats matzah at the moment that he's doing some other mitzvah, again, you have to be a little bit creative, what the mitzvah would be, so the person gets the mitzvah points, and the person does not have to do the mitzvah again when the person got better. Osek b'mitzvah pater min haMitzvah, the Mishnah Berurah writes in that Sher HaTziyon Os Lamed Tes, osek b'mitzvah pater min haMitzvah is an exemption. You're still an ish. And because you still have the din of an ish, so therefore the mitzvah that you do counts as a mitzvah. However, if you do a mitzvah when you are halachically a shota, so then it does not count as a mitzvah, and then you have to redo the mitzvah, ad kan divrei haMishnah Berurah. Now, I should note, and this is again, we're up to Judaism according to Schwartz, so if you want to tune out, or are you guys able to mute me, or only I can mute you? Oh, right, so I can mute you, but you can't mute me. It's like such amazing power, by the way. Like in regular Shir, you don't have this ability to like mute the Talmidim. It's like Gevaldik, no? I'm not going to develop this point further, but you probably understand what I'm getting at. Now, there's a machlekes between the Ritva and the other Rishonim in the sugya of Osek B'mitzvah in Maseches Sukkah. The Ritva writes that Osek B'mitzvah is Osir Lasos Mitzvah. Rashi writes that Osek B'mitzvah is Pater Min HaMitzvah. You're not Osir to do the mitzvah. When the Mishnah Berurah says that if a person does a mitzvah at the Zman that the person is Osek B'mitzvah, if the person eats matzah during the time that the person is Osek B'mitzvah, so the person gets mitzvah points, L'cha'ora, this is only true according to those opinions that Osek B'mitzvah is Pater Min HaMitzvah. If I hold Osek B'mitzvah is Osir to do a mitzvah, so a mitzvah that I do at the time that I am Osek B'mitzvah is a mitzvah Haboba Aveira. And because it's a mitzvah Haboba Aveira, I would not get any mitzvah points added to my ledger. I would say that the Mishnah Berurah is making an assumption over here. When he says that the Osek B'mitzvah gets the mitzvah, his assumption is that we follow those opinions that Osek B'mitzvah is Pater Min HaMitzvah rather than Osek B'mitzvah being usher to do a mitzvah. Yeah, absolutely. Mitzvah. In other words, the Gemara has mitzvah above Aveira in the context of lulav. Right? If you have a lulav hagozel, according to one opinion of the Gemara, that's mitzvah above Aveira. But we pass in, let's say, if I steal matzah, that's also mitzvah above Aveira. I'm not yotze a mitzvah but stolen matzah. Right? Any mitzvah above Aveira, I'm not yotze. The Maharam Sheikh has a famous tshuva where he writes that, let's say you have a person who is told by the doctors that you're not allowed to fast on Yom HaKippurim. And the person says, doctors, who needs you? I'm going to fast anyway, no? This is a common thing that existed with Jews, like, of the previous generation. I don't care what the doctor said. I can't have a Yom HaKippurim if I don't fast. So Maram Shik writes in the Tshuva that if you do that, you are mitzvah haboba aveira Jew. And whatever mitzvah you would get for fasting in Yom HaKippurim doesn't apply. You don't get any mitzvah points added to your ledger because that's a mitzvah above Aveira. So here also, if you hold... Again? The Aveira is that you're in violation of V'nishmartem Ma'od L'Nafshel Seichem. The Aveira is that you are injuring yourself physically. The Mishnah writes in Bava Kamma in the end of Perek HaChovel that a person is not allowed to injure his or her body. No? HaChovel ba'a. Again, I think if cutting off an arm is necessary medically, you cut it off. Just to injure yourself, you're not allowed to. Now, there is two ways of understanding that Mishnah in Bava Kamma. When the Mishnah says, Achova ba'atmos in a rashoi, so one way of saying it is because the person is putting himself in a sakanas nefashos situation. So what you're pointing out, Ben, is let's say I'm a doctor, and I know that I could cut off my arm and how to suture it right away. Actually, if you're interested, Gerish, and you would like this, there is a nice book about the fellow who wrote the Oxford English Dictionary. And he decided to inflict injuries on himself. He did what is a very rare procedure called an autopiotomy. You could look it up. Basically, he severed his own penis from his body, just to be totally gross about it. But he knew how to suture himself up after. The man was absolutely brilliant, a complete lunatic. It's a nice book. I forgot the title of the book, but it's about the fellow who wrote the Oxford English Dictionary. I'm sure you could Google it, maybe send it around to the shiur after the name of the book. It would be fun reading. There are two reasons why a person is not allowed to injure himself. One reason is that the person is putting himself in the situation of sakanas nefashos, and then if I'm a doctor and I could suture myself after, so maybe that's permitted. But there's a second reason. The Radvaz writes in his commentary in the Rambam over there, the reason I'm not allowed to injure myself is because a person is not a Bailam al Rashi Evarim Shalom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a body. We don't own our own body. I don't own my body. Again, I know that Roe v. Wade says that a person owns their body.
That's not what
Roe v. Wade, my daughter is pointing out, does not say that you own your body. But the point is, one of the common things that is used in support of those who support abortion rights is that I own my body. And as a matter of halacha, we don't own our own bodies. I'm not allowed to injure myself. I'm not allowed to chop off my own finger. Again, there's probably room to dispute this. I'm just giving this as a mushroom because I think it wakes guys up when I talk about abortion. Okay, let's go on. So the din is that if a person does a mitzvah when they are exempt from doing a mitzvah, so the Mishnah Berurah says that you are yotzei, and we're saying that that is against the opinion that it's usur to do a mitzvah. And then we noted that Shuvah the Maram Shik about fasting on Yom HaKippurim, and that's how we got off on this tangent about a person not being able to injure himself or herself. Good, let's go on. Se'if Vav. It says in the Mechaber, Achal kachat yezayis v'chazor achal kachat yezayis yotza. L'chatchila, we noted that you're supposed to eat the entire kezayis together, meaning you're supposed to put the entire kezayis in your mouth at one time, and ideally swallow the whole thing at one time. Let's say you eat chatzi zayis, and then another chatzi zayis, you're yotze. Providing, however, can you guys still hear me? Thumbs up or down? Can you hear me? You're yotze if you eat a chatzi zayis followed by another chatzi zayis, providing... Good, thank you. I just see that, like, the light comes on and says that my internet connection is not stable, so I assume that means that you might not be able to hear me. So that's why I ask, can you hear me? If I eat chatzi zayis followed by another chatzi zayis, I fulfill the mitzvah. Providing, ubovad shlo yishe bein achila lechaverta yose mikdei achilas pras. Providing I don't have a break of more than achilas pras between one eating and the other. And then it says, look in Siman Tav Reish Yud Bei is a definition of achilas pras. Okay, let's go slowly. The Mechaber writes that if I have a pause in the middle of eating, and that pause is more than kedei achilas pras, we'll define kedei achilas pras in a few minutes, but my pause is more than kedei achilas pras, I don't get the mitzvah. The mitzvahs of achila have to be that I eat a certain amount within a certain amount of time. If I eat a crumb and a crumb and a crumb and a crumb, I'm not yotzei. Now the Mishnah Berurah points that out. Even though the Mechaber says that I pause in the middle of eating, let's say I don't pause. I'm just eating crumb, 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 crumb. I'm also not yotzei. There's no pause. I'm not yotzei because kedei achilas pras is the amount of time to eat the entire kezayis. I have to eat the entire kezayis within kedei achilas pras. Now, what is kedei achilas pras? So it's a machlekas harishonim. Is a pras, is a chatzi loaf of bread. It's half of a se'uda. Is a se'uda the total of 6 eggs? Or is a se'uda the total of 8 eggs? And advanced mathematics that they taught us, you know, there used to be a place called Yeshiva University. And when there was a place called Yeshiva University, they did abstract mathematics. So you probably know that chatzi 8 is 4, and chatzi 6 is 3. So the shear of kedei achilas pras is either the amount of time it takes to eat 8 beitzim, excuse me, the amount of time it takes to eat 4 beitzim, or the amount of time it takes to eat 3 beitzim. Now, how long does it take to eat 3 beitzim? L'cha'ora, 3 beitzim, right, is significant. And it should take a nice chunk of time. And many poskim say it's like 9 minutes. Again, I didn't tell you if you want to eat 3 eggs of what?
I think it depends on the speed that you want to eat the eggs. If you want to eat them quickly, you can do it under a minute. If you want to take a nice long meal, you can have a nice 10-minute thing.
So it could be 20 minutes. That people sometimes eat faster, sometimes eat slower, absolutely. I think it depends on, like, normal eating. But normal eating of 3 eggs, yeah, the pashtus is it takes a chunk of time. Pashtus is it takes a chunk of time to eat 3 eggs or 4 eggs. I think that's relatively simple.
So is that hard-boiled or eggs in another method?
Yeah, again, it could be that it means as an omelet. To eat a 3-egg omelet is probably much quicker than to eat 3 hard-boiled eggs. Right, I think that's reasonable. Right, so a 3-egg omelet, how long does it take to eat? So some poskim say it means 9 minutes. That's what Rabbi Avraham Chaim Noah says. It's 9 minutes. They quote from the Chassam Sofer. They quote from the Chassam Sofer that the Zman of Kedei Achilas Pras is 2 minutes. Now that's already very quick. Some poskim say that Leil HaSeda, at least the first night of Yom Tov, you should be Machmir for the small shear of Kedei Achilas Pras for 2 minutes. Again, it does not make any sense to me, though, to have the larger shear of a Kezayis and the smaller shear of Kedei Achilas Pras, because if my Kezayis is bigger, then my Kebetza is bigger. If my Kebetza is bigger, so then the time to eat 3 larger Kezayisim is going to be, or larger Kebetzas is going to be longer than the time it is to eat 3 smaller Kebetzas. So it does not make any sense for me, to be Machmir, so the larger... Just speak louder, please.
It's so the kids will ask.
So the kids will ask, yeah, but like, so the kids will ask doesn't mean I should put myself in danger. I really think that if you're going to try to eat a massive shear of a kezayis within the small Kedei Achilas Pras, I think it's not pashut. I should also add the following nekuda. You know, the Gemara tells me at the beginning of Sukkah that there's a difference between Achilas Pras of Pas Chitim and Achilas Pras of Pas Seorim. Kedei Achilas Pras depends on the particular food that I'm eating. Some foods go quicker, some foods go slower. My understanding is that matzah is one of those foods that people eat slower naturally than other foods. I could wolf down the candy bar, no? How long does it take to eat a Hershey bar? Huh? A Klondike bar. How long does it take to eat a Klondike bar? Well, actually, if it's cold, it takes longer, no? But the point is that food that I like, I'm going to eat quicker.
You don't like mitzvahs?
I love mitzvahs. I'm just saying that besides the fact that on the Yom Tov of Pesach I get a mitzvah achilas matzah, I don't know if matzah would be my preferred food throughout the year. That's all I'm saying. But I'm also mishayer kedei achilas pras based on the particular food that I'm eating. If that's the case, so then matzah kedei achilas pras might be longer than the kedei achilas pras at saying Yom HaKippurim if I'm eating very tasty food. Right? Kedei achilas pras, the Gemara tells me at the beginning of Sukkah, depends on the particular food that I'm eating. If that's the case, if on Yom HaKippurim a person is eating yummy, delicious Klondike bars, or yummy, delicious Hershey bars, so then the Kedei achilas pras is going to be a shorter amount of time than the Kedei achilas pras on than the Kedei achilas pras of achilas matzah. Again,
the Gemara seems to be distinguishing between different types of wheat. Or sorry, different types of grains. So there's the wheat.
Yeah,
there's,
I mean, the Gemara distinguishes between Kedei Achilas Pras of Chitim and Kedei Achilas Pras of Pasaurim. But all the poskim understand that Gemara, that's not only about grains. It applies to anything. And the Pashtus is that matzah, especially our matzah, you know, if you have soft Sfardi matzah, so I could eat a pita very quickly, but I can't eat a piece of matzah the size of that pita as quickly. I think that's a Dover Pashat. Okay, we'll leave it like this. So we have this man of Achilas Pras. Let's go on. Seif Zayin. Ein chiyuv achilas matzah elo b'layla harishon bovad. The mitzvah of, or the chiyuv, I should say it like this. The Lashon Mechaber does not say ein mitzvah achilas matzah. It says ein chiyuv achilas matzah. And that Lashon, that there's no obligation to eat matzah, might lead in the direction of the comment of the Vilna Gaon in the Sefer Ma'aseh Rav, which is quoted here in the Mishneh Berurah Se'if Katan Mem Hei, that there is a mitzvah kiyumis if you eat matzah all 7 days of Pesach. We mentioned this in passing, I believe. The Torah says, Shivas yom matzahs tochelu, That sounds like the mitzvah of achilas matzah is a 7-day mitzvah. And l'cha'ira, what that means is that there's a 7-day mitzvah to eat matzah. So any matzah I eat during the 7 days of Yontiv, they quote the Vilna Gaon, that I fulfill my mitzvah of achilas matzah. I get points. I get points. I have no obligation, but I get points. Now, this idea that I could get points, even though I have no obligation, is famous because Rav Moshe Feinstein, Rav Soloveitchik, and others were bothered by the question, if there's a mitzvah, according to the Ramban, to live in Eretz Yisrael, so how come so many Gedolei Yisrael didn't move to Israel? What are you going to tell me? That they're busy, they have a shul, they have a yeshiva, but people retire? At least you should move to Eretz Yisrael when you retire. How come Gedolei Yisrael didn't move to Eretz Yisrael? So Rav Moshe Feinstein and Rav Soloveitchik both said, the reason they didn't move to Eretz Yisrael is because living in Eretz Yisrael is not a mitzvah chiyuvis, it's a mitzvah kiyumis. Meaning to say that you get points. According to the Ramban, if you live in Eretz Yisrael, you get points. But there's no obligation to live in Eretz Yisrael, and because there's no obligation, so therefore they get their mitzvah points anyway. That's what Moshe Feinstein has in the tshuva. That's what the Rav said. Years ago, there was a fellow from Brooklyn, New York. His name was Tzvi Glatt. And Tzvi Glatt decided not to go to 12th grade. And instead, he picked up, and he went to Eretz Yisrael, and he studied in Merkaz Harav. And Tzvi Glatt was doing some army. He entered the army shortly after. He was doing some army business in Eretz Yisrael. He was in Hebron, and on a Friday night in the city of Hebron, Tzvi Glatt was killed. He was killed. After he was nifter, so the boys looked through his svarim, and they found that Tzvi Glatt was in the process of writing a kuntres. He's writing a small pamphlet on the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. And the purpose of the pamphlet was to encourage all of his friends from Brooklyn to follow him to Israel. Okay, very nice. Tzvi Glatt, the purpose of his pamphlet was to argue that Rav Moshe Feinstein is wrong. When Rav Moshe says that moving to Eretz Yisrael is a mitzvah kiyumis, it's the type of thing that if you do it, you get points. But there is no obligation to do it. So Tzvi Glatt argues in the Sefer that Rav Moshe is wrong. He argues Rav Moshe is wrong. One of the best parts of the Sefer actually is that Rav Moshe has a haskama on the Sefer. And the haskama that Rav Moshe writes is unbelievable. It's like such anova. Rav Moshe writes, this fellow Tzvi Glatt was killed at Kiddush Hashem, and everyone should buy his Sefer because the Sefer is based on firm halachic values, firm halachic makoros, etc. Even though he is arguing on me in the Sefer. The whole purpose of this Sefer is to argue on my tshuva that I wrote that Yishuv Haaretz is a mitzvah kiyumis rather than a mitzvah chiyuvis. And he's wrong with his arguments against me because I'm right, says Rav Moshe. But, even though he's wrong, buy the Sefer anyway. Because he's a good Jew, and he's making halachic arguments. So there's a tremendous amount of anova, I thought, in that haskama that Rav Moshe has to the Sefer. It's called the Kuntres Me'afar Kumi. That's the name of the Kuntres, the pamphlet that Tzvi Glatt published. One of the other interesting things about the Kuntres Me'afar Kumi is that Rav Avram Shapira, who later on became the chief rabbi in Eretz Yisrael, Rav Avram Shapira writes, I don't remember if it's a haskam or if it's ha'oros in the Sefer Me'afar Kumi. And he writes, you know what? Rav Moshe says that Yishuv Ha'aretz is a mitzvah kiyumis, but in his opinion, there's no such concept of mitzvah kiyumis in Judaism. Judaism is a religion. My teacher, my childhood rabbi, Rabbi Walter Wurzburger, has a book called The Ethics of Obligation. Judaism is a religion where we talk about obligations. We don't talk about points. There's no such thing in Judaism, says the Rav HaReshi, Rabbi Avram Shapiro. There's no such thing in Judaism as a mitzvah kiyumis. It doesn't exist. It can't exist. Because our entire religion is predicated on the idea of schar va'onesh. And I get reward based on the fact that I would be punished if I wouldn't do the mitzvah. That's what Taisa writes in Kedushin Daf Lamed Aleph and Avodah Zarah Daf Gimel. But I get reward based on the fact that I could have done the mitzvah, or excuse me, that I would be punished if I don't do it. Schar va'onesh. The two are connected. There's no such thing in Judaism of a concept of mitzvah kiyumis where you get points even though you have no obligation. So one of the points that is very troubling about this gra is the gra is saying that there's a mitzvah kiyumis. If you eat matzah all 7 days of Pesach, you get mitzvos, you get points, even though there's no obligation to do so. In Hashkafa, that's a very troubling point. There are a number of other nekudos that are worth mentioning about this gra. The Pashta says that the gra is saying that we should fulfill Pshuto Shel Mikra. The Torah says Shivas Yom Matzos Techelu. Says the gra, that means Pshuto Shel Mikra, you get points for eating matzah all 7 days. That's what it says. Do we have to fulfill Pshuto Shel Mikra?
What?
The Torah says that on Sukkot. The Torah says that on Sukkot, for example, I have a mitzvah. Excuse me for a second. The Torah says on Sukkot, I have a mitzvah to take Arvei Nachal, to take Aravos. Now, should my Aravos come l'chatchila from the Nachal? Should I get my Aravos from the riverbank? There are two opinions in the Torah, where the Arvei Nachal is l'chatchila. Those two opinions are based on the fact, is there a hiddur, is there an inyan to be mekayim Pshuto Shel Mikra? Or do I say that, no, all I have to be mekayim is what Chazal say, which means that the understanding of Arvei Nachal is the min Arava HaGadela B'Nachal, the type of Arava that grows. So the gross comment that I should eat matzah all 7 days is predicated on the assumption that what I'm supposed to do is fulfill Pshuto Shel Mikra. And that's a very questionable assumption. It's interesting, though. The way the halachic system works is that the halachic texts are the way Chazal understand Chumash. The Chumash itself is not the full halachic text. And therefore, even though the Chumash says something, but if Chazal understand it differently, maybe I should not be Mekayim what the Chumash says. So the Torah says, Shivas Yom Matzah is Teichelu. The Gemara says that Shivas Yom Matzah is Teichelu means eat matzah, not in the sense of eat matzah, don't eat chametz. Right? It's Woody Allen. No, swimming means don't drown. Right? Don't eat chametz. That's the mitzvah. Do I try to fulfill Pshuto Shel Mikra? So that's already very questionable, but the Gra is making an assumption. Would guys be able to learn tomorrow, maybe? Could we get together, let's say, at 9:30 tomorrow? Would that work for a brief Limud HaTorah session? Thumbs up, 9:30? Okay, so we're going to try for 9:30 tomorrow. I want to continue. I have a few other ha'aros about this Gra, and I want to continue with the halachos of Leah HaSeder, but I have to get off now. Okay, Chevra, have a wonderful, blessed, marvelous day. Zayge Benj, Tzkotov.